Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I like to do to begin each of our shows, I like to read or share a recent poignant story or an especially interesting essay or some philosophical quotes or thoughts or sometimes even a little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. Well, as much as I hate to say it, we're getting close to the end of summer. So I thought we'd read a couple essays reflective of us saying adios to the most wonderful time of the year, very frankly. Entitled, Summer's Over, Hooray, At Last We're Relieved of the Duty to Have All That Fun, written by Kevin McHugh. So, here we are again, Kevin says, at another summer's end. The kids are back in school, the beaches have closed, and the ballparks will follow in a few weeks. Each day ends a bit earlier, the light coming at sharper angles as the sun sets further and further to the south, and the air takes on hints of autumn crispness. With the seasons passing comes the end of all those activities, picnics and the barbecues, street festivals and art fairs, outdoor concerts and movies in the parks that just weeks ago seemed to offer endless amounts of sun-drenched fun. And not a moment too soon, because really, could you bear another week of knowing there was so much summertime fun you could be having if only you had more time for it? Admit it, it's a relief that summer's over and you no longer feel pressure to take advantage of it. It's as much a part of the season as the Cubs raising hopes and then dashing them, that inevitable moment somewhere in mid-June when you think, where is the summer gone? Lost opportunities for summer enjoyment cause a particularly wistful kind of regret, as if they're somehow more precious than those of other seasons. Never mind that, truth be told, much of summer is spent indoors, there's a reason we have air conditioning and mosquito repellent. Like all neuroses, the yearning for more summer recreation has its beginnings in childhood. Unless you were one of those unfortunate farm children for whom summer vacation was originally intended and spent May through August working in the fields, your summers were probably spent at the pool, at camp, and complaining that there was nothing to do. Remember when all you had to do all day was avoid the crushing burden of having to mow the lawn? Childhood establishes the precedent that summer is a month-long interlude of carefree leisure and that shapes our expectations of the season long after adulthood teaches us otherwise. So, we're more annoyed than usual when we have to cancel an evening in Grand Park because there's too much work to do. Or spend a July weekend stuck in our home office finishing up a report. I'm going to raise a fuss, I'm going to raise a holler about working all summer just to try to earn a dollar, as late Eddie Cochran saying. Probably better than I did. We seem to forget that the demands of work and family and friendships don't stop from June to September. If anything, they increase. A colleague observes that there are only a dozen or so weekends in a given summer, and half of them are filled with christenings, graduations, weddings, and other social obligations. Meanwhile, the kids are off from school, and unless they're old enough for summer jobs, someone has to shepherd them to the pool and to camp. But given that your average 8-year-old's days are more heavily scheduled than the president's, at least they're less likely to moan there's nothing to do. It's not that summer's no fun. A look back on my own calendar reminds me that I got to a few baseball games, ate some dinners at sidewalk cafes, and caught an outdoor concert where I rediscovered the serene pleasure of drinking beer out of a can on a summer afternoon. But somehow it seems inadequate. The very overabundance of summer fun creates a no-win situation. No matter how much you do, you can't do it all. Not with 3 different blockbuster movies opening each weekend and your neighborhood block party and drinks after work at that new beer garden. Still, we try to fit it as much as possible, with the result that everyone so overextended the summer relaxation becomes yet one more source of stress. One friend of mine packed a circus performance, a barbecue, and a music festival into this past 4th of July. The following weekend, I found myself simultaneously scheduled to be at both a picnic with good friends whom I hadn't seen in months and my sister-in-law's birthday party. To traffic alone getting to many events is enough to make a person feel the end of summer can't come soon enough. Wouldn't it be easier to acknowledge that summer isn't more fun than the rest of the year? It's just more humid? Eddie Cochran was wrong. There is a cure for the summertime blues. It's called Labor Day. Summer's over. Now I can finally relax. So I don't know if I subscribe to everything that Kevin McHugh says, but certainly some funny points there. And but it is. It's kind of sad that it's over. We had a great summer. We had some rain, but, geez, everything was so beautiful. The flowers were blossoming all summer long. It never dried out. We didn't have any droughts. And we got to dine al fresco, which means in the outside. And had a good time doing it. But come fall, it's always looking forward to the changing of the seasons and the colors of the trees and some nice Indian summer days. So we'll look forward to that. But before we do, we're going to play a little music. And maybe the best way to say goodbye to summer is to play some great music from Chad and Jeremy. And we're going to play two songs. One reminiscent, entitled A Summer Song, and one of my favorites as we say goodbye to summer, Distant Shores. And we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show.
Trees swaying in the summer breeze, showing off their silver leaves as we walked by. Soft kisses on a summer's day, laughing all our cares away, just you and I. Sweet, sleepy warmth of summer nights, gazing at the distant lights in the starry sky. They say that all good things must end someday. Autumn leaves must fall. But don't you know that it hurts me so to say goodbye to you? Wish you didn't have to go. No, 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 no. When the rain beats against my window pane, I'll think of summer days again and dream of you. They say that all good things must end someday. Don't you know that it hurts me so to say goodbye to you? Wish you didn't have to go. No, 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 no. And when the rain beats against my window pane, I'll think of summer days again and dream of you. And dream of you.
So
for me to follow. And we kissed on distant shores. The careful glance of children playing. Raindrops fall as if they're sailing. Quiet thoughts of you, caressed by time. The breeze of summer's gone. Whispered memories as nights grow long. To follow, and we kissed on distant shores.
As we say goodbye to summer, a summer song in Distant Shores by Chad and Jeremy. We're back on the Kevin Moore Show. The Joffrey Ballet celebrates its 20th anniversary of calling Chicago home in its 2014-2015 season. Artistic director Ashley Weider opens the season with Stories in Motion, a special one-weekend-only addition to the Joffrey's usual three-program subscription season. This program, exploring the concept of story ballet with works that each tell a story in a freshly conceived way, features the return of two Joffrey repertory favorites, George Balanchine's Prodigal Son and Anthony Tudor's Jardin aux Lilas, along with the Joffrey Chicago premiere of Yuri Posokoff's Asian-themed Raku. The Joffrey presents Stories in Motion in five performances only at the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University, 50 East Congress Parkway, September 18th through the 21st. With Stories in Motion, the Joffrey Ballet explores the ways by which stories are told with physical movement and music, said Ashley Weider. We tend to think of only full-length ballets as our narrative food, so I wanted to focus on telling a complete story in a very short space of time. We present three very distinct narrative works and hope to show that the language of dance is as expressive and nuanced as the spoken or written word. As with all great stories, human nature is the source of these ballets. Emotions are rendered through movement without words. Love, longing, passion, jealousy, sorrow, revenge, and forgiveness. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning star of stage, screen, and television, world-renowned dancer, having performed with the legendary Rudolf Nureyev and Margot Fonteyn, teacher, mentor, member of the Royal Ballet, former ballet master of the San Francisco Ballet, visionary in the world of dance, and the artistic director of the world-famous Joffrey Ballet, now presenting the Joffrey Ballet's season-opening program, Stories in Motion, featuring three works at the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University, September 18th through the 21st, 50 East Congress at Michigan, our good pal, Mr. Ashley Weider. Ashley, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
And happy new season here, buddy.
Yeah, it's fantastic. We've had an amazingly busy summer preparing for the season. It's a huge season, but I think, you know, this is a milestone for the Joffrey, and I think that 20 years in Chicago, it has been really an amazing celebration, and I think that, you know, the world knows that the Joffrey's home is Chicago.
Well, you've brought this ballet company to its peak and beyond, and continue to do so. Each year is better than the last, Ashley, and everybody's excited about this season. 20 years, you were just in grammar school when you started this.
I wish.
But everybody's still having fun, and you do this every year. Now, last year, if I can remember, you did Russian Masters, which was kind of a little taste of what was to come with Balanchine again and Posokoff. You had, of course, the music of Stravinsky with Le Sacre du Printemps. And this year, you have a little taste here with what you're presenting in Stories in Motion.
It is. So I think last year really focused on, you know, American, Russian choreographers and Russian music. And this year, you know, I think that we have amazing, generous support from the Alphawood Foundation for this added performances. So I think that to be able to write really kind of iris in on an idea or a subject is a wonderful thing. And I think that the Stories in Motion program is something I've wanted to do for a long time, because I think that, as you said to your listeners, you know, we think of story ballets as Sleeping Beauty, Swan Lake, Giselle, The Nutcracker, but telling a short story can be so impactful. And if you're telling an amazing story in 20 or 25 minutes, it takes extraordinary talent. And so looking at the three pieces on the program, they're in chronological order. Prodigal Son was done for the Ballet Russe. It was a commission score by Prokofiev. And then Anthony Tudor, looked at the psychology in dance of being able to tell a story with the most subtle of ideas. And then Yuri, who is a living choreographer, who has used a commission score by a wonderful Japanese man, Shinji Eshima. And then his way of expressing story is so bold. So I think that they're so contrasting in their ideas, but the expression of the human body is quite amazing.
And you have similar threads that run through these three ballets, as you have this Stories in Motion kind of theme that's presented to the ballet attendee, and enjoying the stories of love and longing and passion, as I said in the introduction, that brings us together as we enjoy these short stories. Not a novel, but it's a short story, which
right.
can be taking the essence and just taking all that energy and condensing it into one great dance.
I mean, I think that we, as an audience, we have empathy for the people, the characters that are in front of us. And they are in themselves an absolute reflection of the humanity that we are. And I think it's just, you know, they are so totally different stories to each other. And I will be really interested to see what the reaction is. I know that there is enormous interest in Raku by Yuri, because it's a very bold, very powerful storytelling, and physically it is incredibly demanding on the company.
Well, let's look at each one individually. Let's start with, of course, as you say, in chronological order, Balanchine's Prodigal Son. Now, here's a man I think maybe best introduced by starting out with one of his great quotes, and he said, "I don't have a past. I have a continuous present. The past is part of the present, just as the future is. We exist in time." And his ballets reflect that.
Absolutely. And you know, the thing, what's really interesting about Prodigal Son is that Diaghilev had chosen Balanchine to do the work, and he had chosen Prokofiev to write the score. And I think that Balanchine and Prokofiev did not see eye to eye on the collaboration. And I know that Balanchine, kind of didn't really want to do it. He just didn't get on with Prokofiev. Mm-hmm. But I think what's really amazing is that what came out of it is extraordinary. And I think that it was real collaboration between music, art, and dance. And, you know, Balanchine has this unbelievable way of hearing music. And so what he choreographs to the music, it is in its simple avant-garde form, it is just incredibly powerful.
And a timeless piece, because this first was presented in 1929.
Yep. Absolutely.
And very interesting, so our listeners know, if for no other reason to come to the show, that the artistic director of the Joffrey Ballet will be in the Prodigal Son. Now, that's something cool.
I will.
I'm looking forward to that.
I will. You know, years ago I played the role of the father in Prodigal Son, and actually it was quite, I had retired from being a principal dancer, and I didn't think that I would take on a character role. But I was asked by Helgi Thomason, who was the director of San Francisco Ballet, if I would do it. And it was really a profound moment on the stage. And it is such an important role, and it's so simple, and it's just so emotionally driven. So I absolutely said that I would do it again.
Now, does it require extensive dance?
It doesn't really. It's just, it's very simple kind of gesture. But how you looked at the prodigal son. And, you know, in the beginning, the prodigal son is adamant he's leaving home.
Right.
He's done with this. And so there's a tension there, you know, an anger in the father, because the son is shouting about wanting to leave. And then at the end, you know, coming back completely robbed and beaten up and asking for forgiveness. And so how we feel about someone, you know, to understand what everything that has happened to them in the journey and find it in ourselves to forgive, it's a very, very powerful moment.
Well, you have to make a quick change, don't you? Usually introduce the ballets on opening night. Now you get into character.
So I will not be doing that for this program.
Well, I'd be happy to volunteer if you need somebody to do that. I'd be happy to do that. That's terrific. I think that'll be great. And I bet it'll be fun to be back on the stage, Ashley.
Yeah, no, it's great. And the other thing is, I actually really, you know, for the company, to be on the stage with the company is really important for me. I'm their director, but we all work together. We're all about wanting to bring the best possible art form to the stage.
And I bet you it's exciting for the company too to see you out there.
Yeah, no, I think it's good. It is. I think that you know, it's great to all be in rehearsal together and really support everyone. And it's been a really interesting process putting this program together, because I think for the company, through each of the pieces, have learned so much about themselves and what is required for each work, and I think they vary so much. So it's been a real growing experience from a theatrical point of view for the company.
And Balanchine was a very interesting man. He worked, of course, in classical ballet, born in Russia, and then went to Hollywood and Broadway and worked.
Yeah, he did. He did many, you know, a lot of films in Hollywood. He did fantastic On Your Toes, the musical. So he has worked in many, many different disciplines, and you know, he's done some really fun ballets, things like Stars and Stripes, which is a full, huge company piece, and he did Who Cares with the music of Gershwin, and then he's done, you know, he did a second act Swan Lake. I don't think Balanchine ever did a full-length Swan Lake or full-length Sleeping Beauty, but he came from that. He came from that heritage of classicism.
And the second presentation, of course, Jardin aux Lilas, or the Lilac Garden. Anthony Tudor, one of the giants of 20th century choreographer, of course, recipient of the Kenny Center Honor, and one of the founders of the American Ballet Theatre.
Absolutely, and I think Lilac Garden says so much about Tudor and what he wanted to bring to the stage. He wanted us to feel for each of the characters in his work, because he did so many works, and I've danced a few of the other ones. He did Pillar of Fire, which is a kind of harrowing, sad story, and he tends to veer to the sad side of humanity. Although he did do one ballet called Gala Performance, where he took a Russian ballerina, Italian ballerina, and French ballerina, and found all their caricatures and nuances, and it's a very funny piece.
Now, this is a psychological ballet. What do they mean by that, Ashley?
I think that there's just a lot of subtlety in it. It is about a young girl called Caroline who is betrothed to an older man, and the older man has a woman in his past.
Mm-hmm.
And Caroline was in love with a young man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's set in that kind of Victorian Edwardian time when there weren't a lot of choices. And especially for women, you know, so much happened and they kind of put a stiff upper lip on it.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, suffered it. And so I think we feel the suffering of Caroline. We also see the passion of the young man losing her, and the older man trying to end the affair with the other woman that he had a relationship with. And so you see this turmoil, and it's so subtle and clearly defined.
Reminds me of Sondheim's A Little Night Music a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right. And I think the other thing, you know, is that the score for Lilac Garden is a chanson, and it's called The Poem, and it is such an exquisite piece of music. And I don't think many people have heard of Chausson's music. Mm-hmm. So I think the program musically as well is really interesting. And we have the wonderful Chicago Philharmonic playing for us. So it's brilliant.
Now, you last performed this in 2008. What made you bring this back? Was it memorable for you? You need to share this again with the audience?
I think that in terms of telling short narrative work, I think it's a masterpiece. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to look at people that had really, really bought some great work and how together they are a very clear kind of reflection and contrast of humanity.
Well, that sounds exciting. Of course, the third work is from a friend of yours, Yuri Posikoff, also from the San Francisco Ballet, studied with Grigorovich in the Bolshoi Ballet. And his presentation of Raku, you mentioned people are looking forward to that especially.
I think it is so physical. I mean, if Lilac Garden is more understated, Raku is bold. It's beautiful. It's taken from a story of the burning of the Golden Pavilion in Kyoto. And it's so creative in its design, scenic design, costume design. And Yuri, you know, he incorporated some buta dancing, and also the score requires chanting. And so we have the monks in Chicago coming to chant.
Oh, really?
During the performance.
Cool.
Yeah, it's really beautiful the way the score has been created.
And this is something, again, as I mentioned earlier, when we were starting to chat, Ashley, that you do for the audience of Chicago. You're presenting this little 4-day or 5-day presentation of just a taste of the ballet. What's your thought behind this? Why give this extra impetus or extra just kick into the Joffrey season?
Well, I think that, you know, that for a long time, a lot of people have said, oh, you know, we would love to have the ability to see more of the Joffrey. Mm-hmm. And I think that the challenge is, you know, how much can a company do, and how much does a city want to sustain something?
Right.
So, you know, with the generosity of Alphawood, it was specifically to kind of audience development and really see, you know, if this program, this added program, is a winner. And I think that, you know, from last year, we did incredibly well on the program. And this year, I think that we're doing very well, too. I think the other thing about this year is that in October, we premiere Swan Lake.
I'm really looking forward to that. That's my favorite, yeah.
And it's such a beautiful production by Christopher Wheeldon. So I think that, you know, from my point of view, I really would love as many people to see this program because it's not the kind of program that any company really does. And I think that, you know, only having 5 days is a really short window. And by the time word of mouth gets around, it'll be over.
Well, that's what makes the Joffrey so unique. You bring ballet to people that they normally wouldn't see, and I think that's why people come so often.
It's been really amazing. I mean, in terms of our subscribers and our single ticket sales, we have seen just nothing but growth, and I think that that's really a credit to the quality of the dancing on the stage. And, you know, the company right now is dancing so beautifully, and I think with such integrity and depth, they have real depth of understanding. And it's a very, very physical, highly athletic art form. And I think that, you know, Raku has, because it is, it's based on a lot of kind of Japanese ideas, for the samurai and his warriors, the choreography is incredibly hard.
And evidenced by not only Chicago recognizing what's happening at the Joffrey, but national recognition in that the receipt of a $500,000 challenge grant from the Rudolf Nureyev Dance Foundation. That's quite remarkable.
It is remarkable. And the Rudolf Nureyev Challenge Grant is It's the largest gift they've ever made to a company. And so that in itself is really an outstanding achievement for the Joffrey. We have until next June to raise the money in order to receive the funds. And I think that, you know, for the Joffrey here in Chicago on our 20th anniversary, kind of the stars are lining up. And if we raise the money, it will be the first endowment for the Joffrey. And I think that this endowment is specifically for us to create new narrative work or to present existing works that are in a story mode. So whether it's, you know, a new Cinderella, a Capella, a Giselle, you know, it could be or new. I have some ideas for some new work that I'd love to do, and this would really, really help us.
Now, is there any truth, or should I be the first one to get the word out by virtue of the fact that you're going to be in Prodigal Son portraying the father, that you're going to be doing Drosselmeyer in the Nutcracker? Is that true?
It isn't true.
Oh, we could try that, though.
But there are some other things that, you know, I think if they come around, you know, the trouble is, Kevin, is that I danced really hard for many, many years, and my body has been through a lot, and I'm not getting younger.
Well, I just went to the Rush Clinic yesterday, and I got to get to Athletico. That's why I'm feeling the same thing, only from different kind of sports. Let me I know what it is.
Well, I can assure you that Athletico are fantastic, and they are our official physical rehabilitation for the company, and they do an amazing job. They keep us on our toes, and they keep the guys in the air.
I might need to touch base with your expertise in that to get a good therapist, because I'm looking for one, so I need some kind of workout along those lines. So I might be calling you on that.
Okay, absolutely.
Well, you know, always a delight chatting with you, my pal. I love to have you on and talk about what's happening at the Joffrey. I'm looking forward, of course, to talking with you about my favorite Swan Lake coming up in a few weeks. But it's great to start the season again, Ashley.
It is really good, and I think that, you know, we've had some fun things over the summer, Kevin. I'm not sure if you are aware, but we did a live stream. And it was the first time a company had ever just had a three-hour live stream of a rehearsal day at the Joffrey Ballet.
Wow, that's cool.
And it was amazing. It was when Christopher Wilden was here working on Swan Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did the live stream, and I think we had participation from 77 countries.
Wow, that's great.
You know, and the response has been amazing. And I think it goes along with what I believe, which is, you know, people should have access to the Joffrey and to what we're doing. And I think it gives them a greater idea of just how physically strenuous it is to be a really great dancer.
Well, I think it's important to see how you're an artist and how artists work. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to sit there and watch how Monet painted some of his works, or Picasso did what he did in a studio? This is just like that.
Absolutely.
Just exciting, very exciting. The season's focus is on narrative and dance, exploring the concept of story ballet with a series of both repertory and evening-length works that each tell a story in a freshly conceived way. The Joffrey Ballet is Chicago's premier ballet company committed to artistic excellence and innovation, presenting a unique repertory encompassing masterpieces of the past and cutting-edge works of today. Founded by visionary teacher Robert Joffrey in 1956, guided by celebrated choreographer Gerald Arpino from 1988 until 2007. The Joffrey Ballet continues to thrive under Artistic Director Ashley Weider and Executive Director Greg Cameron. The Joffrey is also committed to providing arts education and accessible dance training through its Joffrey Academy of Dance and Community Engagement Programs. The Joffrey Ballet celebrates its 20th anniversary of calling Chicago home in the 2014-2015 season. Artistic Director Ashley Weider opens the season with Stories in Motion, a special one-weekend-only addition to the Joffrey's usual three-program subscription season. This program exploring the concept of story ballet with works that each tell a story in a freshly conceived way features the return of two Joffrey repertory favorites, George Balanchine's Prodigal Son and Anthony Tudor's Lilac Garden, along with the Joffrey Chicago premiere of Yuri Posokoff's Asian-themed Raku. The Joffrey presents Stories in Motion in five performances only, at the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University, 50 East Congress Parkway, September 18th through the 21st. And on the line with us right now is our good friend Ashley Weider. Ashley, maybe a phone number or website if people would like to get tickets?
You can definitely go to joffrey.org, and you can access tickets there. You can also go through Ticketmaster, and you can also come down to our building at 10 East Randolph. In the Loop, and we have our box office, which is open every day.
Always a pleasure, my pal. I will look forward to seeing you next week. Good luck on stage, and you know, if there's anything we can do, we're always here for you.
Thank you so much, Kevin, and I look forward to seeing you.
Take care, my dear friend.
All right. Thank you.
Ashley Weider, the artistic director of the world-renowned Joffrey Ballet. Looks forward to next week and some great dance. George Balanchine's Prodigal Son, Anthony Tudor's Lilac Garden, and Yuri Posikoff's Asian-themed Raku. September 18th through the 21st. For information, 800-982-2787. Always a delight chatting with Ashley Weider. Well, maybe one more little essay about a saying goodbye to summer, titled A Lament to One More Summer's End. Once again, summer is fading fast. In just a few days, summer will officially close her business. Windows will be shuttered, doors closed, the sun eventually spending more time on another hemisphere. Gone to South America, a sign will read. We'll return in 9 months. We'll miss sitting on our decks with friends, a cold drink or a good book. When the snow is turning our streets into slush pudding, we'll long to hop on our bicycles with no hesitation and no destination in mind. We will miss fresh fruit. Tastes bitter when it comes from places where it's still summer. We will ache to step outside without the space suit-like coats that the Chicago area winters require. The goldfinches and hummingbirds will no longer visit our backyards now that they and the butterflies we so enjoy have traveled to warmer climates. The smell of barbecues will no longer waft through our neighborhoods, nor will the sight of rainbows or roses adorning our yards and those of our neighbors. Baseball, oh, woe is us, is lost for months. Of course, the summer was lost a little bit, too. The summer festivals with their outdoor music and local flavor must take a hiatus. Relaxing on the beach in a bikini will not have the same appeal when it's below freezing. Sailing, too, will have to wait. Iced tea, Slurpees, snow cones, and ice cream will not taste as refreshing when they are only adding to our cold. We'll itch to watch the summer lightning casting split-second spiderwebs across the sky. Breezes will no longer be refreshing when we no longer dare to drive with our windows down because of the biting chill. Did we mention baseball? We'll miss taking our dogs out in the woods for a walk, voluntarily. We'll no longer be able to plant our gardens of flowers and vegetables, nor will we be able to visit the garden shows throughout the western suburbs. It'll be tough to give up tennis, at least free tennis. No longer will we use the windows to let the warm weather in. There'll be instruments to keep the frigid weather out. In a short time, reading at an outdoor table at a cafe will seem insane. The weekly visit to the farmer's market to taste something truly fresh will be, at least for a few months, a memory. Soccer camp, lacrosse camp, summer camp, and camping a little harder. Truth is, many of these things are possible in the winter. But who will want to leave the warm house when the mercury falls? We'll just have to warm up our snow-shoveling arms and wait for the warm weather to return. Maybe not that bad, but let's enjoy Indian summer, as I said before, and see how that allows us to remember the great summer we had. Massage Envy Spa and the Arthritis Foundation have joined forces to host the fourth annual Healing Hands for Arthritis, a one-day national event to build awareness and raise funds to fight arthritis. On September 17th, the 37 Massage Envy Spa locations in the greater Chicagoland area will donate $10 from every one-hour massage or facial to the Arthritis Foundation. Since 2011, this one-day nationwide event has raised over $2 million for the Arthritis Foundation. There is no better way to give back than to treat yourself, a friend, or family member to a relaxing and rejuvenating massage or facial, said Peter Carlson, regional developer, partner in Massage Envy. We strongly encourage the Chicago community to come out on September 17th to help fight arthritis, a disease that affects 50 million Americans and is America's leading cause of disability. Massage Envy Spa and the Arthritis Foundation share a common understanding about the devastating effects of arthritis on the body and the potential for massage therapy to relieve and control certain symptoms. Massage therapy can play an important role in alleviating the pain and swelling caused by arthritis, improving flexibility in circulation, and reducing stress and anxiety. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning businessman and nationally recognized authority on franchise partnerships, training and support, and business development. Peter, through his companies, has worked successfully with such large corporations as Manulife Financial, Prudential, the National Basketball Association, and the Minnesota Vikings, one of the most welcoming people in the world of national franchise business, and the regional developer and partner in Massage Envy. Now, looking forward to the fourth annual Healing Hands for Arthritis event at 37 Massage Envy locations on Wednesday, September 17th, our good pal, Mr. Peter Carlson. Peter, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Gosh, Kevin, it's so great to be back to the show, and what a nice introduction to not only our event, but also myself. I so greatly appreciate it.
Well, you know, it's great to have you back, and when we started this a few years ago, you had three or four clinics, and now there are 140 million of them around, so that's quite...
Well, you know, we got... Yeah, we got
or something like that, I don't know.
Yeah, no, we have 37 in the greater Chicagoland area, and there's now over 1,000 clinics in 48 states, including Alaska and Hawaii for Massage Envy, so... We're just thrilled when we're done developing. We'll probably have 54 in the greater Chicago DMA.
And helping a lot of people, Peter, that's the bottom line. And helping a lot of people who need it for a variety of reasons, whether it's stress and anxiety, reduction of that, or as I said before in the introduction, alleviating the pain and swelling and flexibility and circulation. It's a great, great time spent and well worth it.
You know, it's interesting. Only one out of five people today still only received a massage and really understand what the benefit can be. There's even studies where we partner with the American Touch Institute down in Florida, and there's studies on, you know, neonatal babies that are born that benefit from massage, you know, people with chronic cancer that are, you know, in their final days and what massage therapy does for them. And it's just, it's amazing from obviously, the people that suffer from chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, and many of those debilitating things, and obviously arthritis is a big one. You touched on the fact that 50 million Americans have a disability with arthritis. It's a lot of people.
Well, I'm guilty of that myself. In fact, I was telling my first guest we had on today was Ashley Weeder, the artistic director of the Joffrey Ballet.
Oh,
and
wow.
He works with Athletico. And I'm not so sure he wouldn't benefit for some kind of connectivity with Massage Envy for his group over there. And I was just at the Rush Midwest Orthopedics because, you know, from all the sports that I played in high school and college and so forth, and now my back's a little out of joint, and I need it. And, you know, you always say, well, you don't have time to do it. Well, you got to make time to do it, and otherwise you're going to be hurting.
Yeah. You're 100% right, Kevin. We're going to get you in and get you a deep muscle therapy. It's a DMT treatment, which is an additional treatment where they go in with hot towels on the problem area, whether it's a shoulder, a knee, an ankle, and they really massage the hot towels, you know, the hotness into the massage, and then they actually then take Biofreeze. So it's the classic hot cold, and then end it with a warm towel again. So we've found that, you know, depending whatever your ache is, or whether it's stress, whether it's high blood pressure, we can certainly design a massage that will help you out.
I'm feeling better already. And the secret is, and this is what you've made it accessible, though, Peter. You know, Massage Envy has made it accessible. Before, you'd have to find somebody, and maybe you'd go, and the price was excessive. What you do is make it so people can do it on a regular basis, and they make it a regular activity. It's part of their daily life, and that's the success that you've had.
Kevin, that's so true. I mean, people are going on their lunch hours. They're going out on dates where we have couples' rooms. It's really become, even expecting moms, I mean, they get a great benefit from massage therapy. But, you know, getting to this event on the 17th, where we're taking $10 from either a massage or facial service, and we're donating it to the arthritis. If you haven't had a massage, that'd be a great day to come in, because there's a way for you to give back to the community. And those dollars, a large, large percentage of those dollars, go right back into the Chicago local chapter for the Arthritis Foundation.
Quite remarkable. $2 million you've donated for the services over the last few years. That's really something.
Yeah, it's a big number. I mean, it's a huge number. And, you know, arthritis is near and dear to us. I mean, Kevin, you said from even, you know, your sports injuries and just, you know, the battles in the past. I've got a couple, you know, discs, lower back discs that are arthritic. And it's just amazing as to what just massage therapy can do, even if it's, you know, once a month or once every other week. Heck, we have people that literally come in twice a week because of the benefits.
I know there's different plans you can sign up for. What's the basic plan so our listeners get an idea about it?
Well, the basic plan is really, I mean, they can come in and get an introductory massage for $49, and that's a super, super value. And then we can sign them up for our wellness program, where each month their account would be EFT'd $59, and that includes one massage that they can get in that month. Now, if they get a second massage in that month, that next massage goes down to $39. And we really, really try, Kevin, you hit it right on the head. We try to make this affordable. We're very, excessive in terms of, you know, the ability for us to be visible at any point in the Chicago DMA. I mean, we've got clinics surrounding us really in just about every market, and if we're not there, we will be there. We, in fact, are opening 7 more clinics before the end of the year.
Wow. And just so people aren't anxious about it, some men would rather have a man give them a massage than a woman, as a woman would rather have a woman give a massage than a man. And they have the choice. You make a choice. You might find somebody you like, and they might like somebody better. And it's your choice to change if you like.
You know, you're absolutely 100% right. If they have a preference, either male or female, we can absolutely accommodate them. And what's interesting is you may have a preconceived notion. In fact, in Minnesota, which is where I live, I have a massage envy membership at the Venice Heights Clinic there. And there's a Southeast Asian massage therapist by the name of Ka. And I'll tell you what, she's about 5'2", 5'3". And when she does a deep tissue massage, you would think it's Ray Lewis or Brian Urlacher. I mean, she's pushing down and getting in so deeply into the muscle. And by the way, they'll absolutely accommodate you, depending on the best thing you can do is give them feedback on that. But to your point, yeah, I mean, you would never guess in a million years that she could deliver that type of a deep tissue massage. And, oh, my gosh, she's just amazing.
How often do you get a massage, Peter?
I'm usually probably for sure once a month.
Yeah.
I would say 1.5 times a month. Sometimes it's twice a month, and sometimes it's once a month. But for sure, I get in once a month.
Well, all the traveling you do, you're in a plane, you're in a car. Good Lord, you probably need it.
I do, Kevin. I mean, just to really reduce stress more than anything, it's been shown that a 1-hour massage can be like getting 6 hours of sleep. That's the therapy.
Really?
Yeah,
that's interesting.
I heard that stat last year, and it's interesting. Very, very compelling.
Of course, you spent so much time in Chicago, you should be voting in the elections here.
Well, I definitely get here. I mean, I almost feel like I'm a native now, and the son who plays hockey, although he loves the Wild in Minnesota, oh my gosh, he's a huge Hawks fan, and we certainly make it a point to catch 2 or 3 games, and he's a huge fan of Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews and that incredible team.
Well, great role models for him, certainly. And, of course, up in Minnesota, everybody plays hockey. But it's we've been doing a lot of good things here with the Blackhawks. And they're a fun team to watch, given the fact that we only got the Cubs and the Sox in the summer. So, you know, what are you going to do? Of course, Minnesota, I'm really disappointed what Minnesota's been doing. They had a team for a while, and all of a sudden they fell off the cliff. I don't understand it.
Oh, my gosh, Kevin. Our team is so bad. I mean, the Twins, they just... You know, for years and years, we had one of the best touted farm
teams
in all of baseball. And year after year, we deliver, you know, with the the payroll being, you know, one of the lowest three or four in the league. But I got that well has dried up certainly over the last 4 or 5 years, and we have such a beautiful stadium in Target Field. In fact, I brought one of the franchisees' husbands out who retired from the Chicago Police Force, tremendous guy, John O'Donnell, and we went to a Twins game and just had a great, great time. But, yeah, I know that you guys can relate with the Cubbies. It's hopefully going to turn around here in the short term.
It'll be the long term, but what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Well, I'm excited for you. I think this is terrific and certainly wonderful for the 17th coming up, a one-day event, raising some money for the Arthritis Foundation, Healing Hands for Arthritis. Just a wonderful thing you're doing, Peter.
Kevin, I really, really appreciate you letting me have the opportunity to come on your great show. And for the listeners, certainly just go ahead and you can certainly book an appointment either online or you can call 866-922-ENVY and we will direct you to the closest clinic. And if that clinic doesn't work out for you, we'll certainly direct you to the second and third one that's closest to you as well.
Striking one in every five adults and 300,000 children, arthritis is the nation's leading cause of disability. The Arthritis Foundation is committed to raising awareness and reducing the impact of this serious, painful, and unacceptable disease, which can severely damage joints and rob people of living life to its fullest. The foundation funds life-changing research that has restored mobility in patients for more than six decades, fight for health care policies that improve the lives of millions who live with arthritis, and partners with families to provide empowering programs and information. With consumers visiting massage therapists at least 140 million times a year, it is evident that more Americans are turning to therapeutic massage to relieve the painful symptoms of arthritis and fibromyalgia while improving circulation, joint flexibility, sleep patterns, and an overall sense of well-being. The experienced professional therapists at Massage Envy Spa clinics can design effective and customized massage treatments to address the individual needs of any member or guests. Massage Envy Spa, based in Scottsdale, Arizona, is a national franchisor and, through its franchise locations, the leading provider of therapeutic massages in the United States. The national franchise is dedicated to providing professional and affordable therapeutic massage and spa services to consumers with busy lifestyles at convenient times and locations. Founded in 2002, Massage Envy Spa has nearly 1,000 locations in 49 states and 1.5 million members. Massage Envy Spa and Arthritis Foundation have joined forces to host the fourth annual Healing Hands for Arthritis, a one-day national event to build awareness and raise funds to fight arthritis. On September 17th, the 37 Massage Envy Spa locations in the greater Chicago area will donate $10 from every one-hour massage or facial to the Arthritis Foundation. Since 2011, this one-day nationwide event has raised over $2 million for the Arthritis Foundation. And on the line with us right now is the regional development partner in Massage Envy, our good pal Peter Carlson. Peter, one more time for a phone number, website, if people like to get some information.
Kevin, that would be 866-922-ENVY for one of the 37 locations here in the greater Chicagoland area. Or if they can simply also go to massageenvy.com.
You know, since we last talked, and I want to mention this briefly, you've added facials to the Massage Envy Spa treatments, which is kind of interesting because now people come in for a facial, see what they can do with the massage, and say, well, let me try that out.
You know, what's interesting is that we added facials back a few years ago, and, you know, it's really been revolutionary. We've seen the facial aspect of our business grow and grow, and part of it is you know, we offer our estheticians will offer like a free skin analysis. And so, you know, a lot of probably for facial service, we probably get a ratio of about 85% women, 15% men. But more and more, just like how massage is growing for men, the facial aspect is now growing for
men
as well.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's super relaxing, incredibly therapeutic. And I'll also add, we've got some enhanced therapies, Kevin, that when you come in, you're going to have to try. I mentioned the deep heat. Also, we have the aromatherapy and or the sugar foot scrub. And I'll tell you, especially coming into the winter, and I don't even want to say that, but it's inevitable, right?
Right, yeah.
you know, your feet get cracked up and it's just super dry, and that Sugarfoot scrub is really a way to exfoliate the feet and really massage the feet and just moisturize them. And it sounds you know, certainly different, but I got to tell you, from having one of those, it's an incredible, incredible feeling.
So I don't have to walk on sandpaper anymore. It'll be different.
Exactly. No. You'll be able to get the gentle sugar right in with that massage within your feet. And oh, it's Kevin, you're gonna have to experience either one of those two.
Well, I congratulate you on your success, Peter. Always growing massage envy. One more time for the phone number.
866-922-ENBY.
You and I are going to rendezvous for lunch one of these days. I wish you'd let me know when you're in town, and we'd love to do it, and certainly and see each other personally. But I'm just so very happy for what's happening with Massage Envy.
Kevin, thank you so much. Next time I get in, which will be next month, let's try to do that. Let's set a time and go down to either Rosebuds or Carmine's or Gibson's or one of the Iconics. I'd love it.
I'd look forward to it.
Perfect.
Safe travel, my pal.
Thanks so much, Kevin.
Thank you, Peter.
You bet.
Take care. Peter Carlson, one of the great people in business in Chicago, certainly a regional developer and partner, Massage Envy. Now looking forward to the 4th annual Healing Hands for Arthritis event at 37 Massage Envy locations on Wednesday, September 17th. If you have the opportunity, by all means, take advantage of it, because it's certainly something worthwhile. And if you're trying it out, it's great, because while you're trying it out, you're making a donation to the Arthritis Foundation, a great group of people doing wonderful things. And, you know, inevitably, we're all going to get touched by that. And I know my dad had it, and I'm not looking forward to it, but I know it's going to happen. But certainly for information, massageenvy.com. And Peter certainly getting the word out as much as he can. So it was nice chatting with him. We had him on the show a while back, and certainly things have changed in Massage Envy. So September 17th, again, at the 37 Massage Envy locations. Well, that about does it for our show today. I thank you for sharing this last hour with me and hope you, our listeners, have enjoyed this time as much as I have. I'd especially like to thank our guest, our good friend Ashley Weider, the artistic director of the world-famous Joffrey Ballet, now presenting the Joffrey Ballet season opening program, Stories in Motion, featuring three works at the Auditorium Theatre of Roosevelt University, September 18th through 21st, 50 East Congress Parkway, Michigan. For information, 800-982-2787. And our good pal Peter Carlson, the regional developer and partner at Massage Envy, now looking forward to the 4th annual Healing Hands for Arthritis event at 37 Massage Envy locations on Wednesday, September 17th. For information, massageenvy.com. Finally, a famous writer once said, one ought, every day at least, to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words. I hope on our show today, we have, at the very least, done just that, spoken a few reasonable words. At that, I'd like to wish everyone a good evening, a wonderful week, and as that British group once said, and in the end, the love that you take is equal to the love that you make. Have a good day.
Year after year, you're sure your heart will fall apart. It's time you hear. Now or never, the more I love, the more that I'm afraid. But in your eyes I may not see forever. Forever.